May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. False steps, ready or not, from our gospel lesson from Matthew 25. Are you ready, or will you be caught off guard? I've always enjoyed a list of excuses that I've read about an office where some people have been caught sleeping at their desk. And here's some of the excuses they used. They told me at the blood bank that this might happen. I like that one. This is just a 15 power nap that they raved about at the time management course that you made me go to. There's kind of the ridiculous one. Woo! I guess I left the top off of the whiteout again. You probably got here just in time. I wasn't sleeping. I was meditating on the mission statement of this fine business. And then they're really ridiculous. I was testing my keyboard for drool resistance. But here's the best one of all. And you probably know what it would be because you're all wonderful Christians. So you're caught sleeping at your desk and you say, and in his name, amen. But our scripture this morning confronts us with a much more serious matter of readiness. In fact, the ultimate one. Are you prepared to give an accounting to the one before whom the secrets of our hearts are disclosed? There's going to be a moment coming when every single person who has ever lived upon this earth will be face to face with Jesus. Everyone. We'll have that moment. Will it be a moment of sheer joy? Or will it be a moment of absolute terror? Are we going to meet Jesus as our Savior, or are we going to meet him as our judge? The parable Jesus told us is very peculiar and puzzling to us. And the reason it is our wedding customs are so different from the wedding customs of Jesus' time. Now, I did a wedding last night, and nothing like what we have in the parable. But nevertheless, I think the meaning of this parable is crystal clear. So let's go through the parable briefly. 10 virgin friends of the bride. We'll call them bridesmaids. Okay? Bridesmaids. Awaited the bridegroom. This was the part of the drama and the fun of the wedding in that day. Because the bridegroom got to decide when he would collect his bride. It could be a day. It could be 2 days. For some rascals, it could be 2 weeks, right? And it could be at any time of the day. It could be in the middle of the day. It could be at midnight. It could be at any time. And you had to be ready if you're going into the wedding. And there would be an announcer who would be a forerunner, and he would say, "He's coming! The bridegroom's coming." Now, all of the bridesmaids had oil in their lamps. A lamp. All right. 5 of them had brought extra oil for their lamp. the five wise ones. The five foolish ones just had what they had in their lamp. Well, as it turned out, the bridegroom came later, and the five foolish bridesmaids who expected him to come much sooner had run out of oil. They had no extra supply. So they asked the wise bridesmaids to give them some of their oil to share. Now, you may really puzzle at this part, but the answer of the five wise was no. We might run out of oil ourselves. Now, there's an important lesson here, which I'm going to bring to you in just a moment or two. Okay? So the five foolish bridesmaids go running into town to buy more oil. And while they're away, the bridegroom arrives. When the foolish women come back to the wedding, they plead to come in, explaining that they're an original part of the wedding party. But then comes the stunning reply of the bridegroom. I tell you the truth, I don't know you. This sounds incredibly heartless. But if you truly understand this parable and you truly understand what Jesus did in coming to this earth, you will know that it's nothing like that at all. Couldn't be further from the truth. So let's grapple with the meaning of this parable, and let's grasp what it means to be ready. There is that moment coming for us all. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. The same Jesus who died on the cross to blot out all of your sins. The same Jesus who rose from the dead and promised that we would rise too. The same Jesus who ascended into heaven and reigns right now with all authority in heaven and on earth. The same Jesus who said he would come again and that we should persevere with the faith that he has given us so that we'll be ready when he comes. The same Jesus who said that he wanted all to come to believe in him, to know the incredible love that he has for all people. The same Jesus who wants all to be reconciled with the Father. That's the bridegroom. You know, it's amazing to me that we prepare for all kinds of things in life. But we fail to prepare for eternity. We get our college degrees. We position ourselves for the right jobs. We have 1 year, 5 year, 10 year goals even in life. We get ready and prepare for retirement. Right now, I know it's not even Thanksgiving yet, we're getting ready for Christmas. We get ready for our vacations. We get ready for this. We get ready for that. And yet, we ignore our relationship with God. We're not ready for eternity. We spend years of not worshiping him, not learning, not serving. We forget his promises. But then the crisis comes and we scramble for some oil. Too late. We don't even know where to get it. Let me tell you, I've experienced this with people throughout my ministry. They make a grand start with the Lord. And then what happens? They drift. Things get more attractive to them. I don't know. Meanwhile, the oil's running out. They begin to forget the promises of Christ. They don't know where to get that oil again. Let me ask you a pointed question. Do you have enough oil, faith, right now? Do you? If a crisis comes to you, or if the temptation of wonderful things happening to your life all the time, is your light going to go out? You know, the five wise maids were not as heartless as it may appear in this parable, because they wouldn't share the oil. They were simply highlighting a fact of life. No one can make it on another person's oil or faith. No one. You can't make it on my faith. I can't make it on yours. You have to have faith of your own. In my first year of college, if people had asked me if I was a Christian, I would have said, well, my parents are very involved in this Holy Nativity Lutheran Church, and, you know, my father is the president, my mother does this, and, you know, I'd go on like that. You know what that sounds like, doesn't it? I was borrowing my parents' faith, right? Now, by the junior year, I had my enlightenment. I came to realize, enlightenment is a good word because it takes the oil to keep that light alive, right? But I had sort of my little flicker was re-energized. You can't make it on your parents' faith. You can't make it, like I hear a lot of people talk about, their spouse's faith. I'm talking to a lot of guys here. You can't make it on your wife's faith. You can't make it on your best friend's faith. You have to have faith of your own. Let me suggest something to you, that you keep buying oil week after week. You need it for the good times, so you don't get lured by the world. And you need it for the crises. And where are you going to get that oil? Week after week, you're getting it right here. You're getting a resupply. You're getting it when you take communion. You're getting it when you read the Bible. You're getting it when you have that close relationship and pray to the Lord Jesus. Those people who say, well, I can go to church once a month. Watch out. I'm telling you, watch out. The crisis might swoop down on you and you don't have enough light to see beyond the darkness. We need that. We need that oil. When the bridegroom comes in the guise of death, will you be ready? I want to talk about some aspects of being ready. And the big aspect, that really the main one, unfinished business in your life. Unfinished business. Is there a sin in your life that you're holding on to, that you've not repented of? If there is, you probably know what I'm talking about. I don't know it, but you do. There's a sin that you just haven't let go of, that you haven't repented of. I have to tell you this. It may be the sin that bars you from eternal life. Don't let that happen. Jesus will grant you forgiveness for any sin, anyone. David and Moses both murdered someone. David committed adultery as well. Paul, he had people murdered for their faith. He will forgive you of any sin except one, the sin against the Holy Spirit. And what is that but unbelief? Not believing you can be forgiven by a gracious Jesus. Not wanting it. Not believing in the Savior. He'll forgive any sin. Another bit of unfinished business that some of you may have. If you're estranged from another person because you won't forgive them, then you're not ready to meet Jesus. Take care of this. Post haste. Today, tomorrow, forgive them. Now you're going to say to me, Pastor, you don't understand. They are not sorry for what they did to me, or they're not going to receive this well. That's not your problem. That's not your problem. Call them up, go over to their house, forgive them. And they tell you, go to, you know where? You've done what you needed to do. You can tell them to call me and I'll tell them what they need to do too, right? Because that's unfinished business in their life. Now, most people don't get through life without having one person or two people or so that they have a hard time forgiving. I'll admit that. There are people that come into your life. I had one. I had to forgive them constantly. And ask God forgiveness, right? I did my part on that. I did it from my heart, too. You got to forgive from your heart. Don't let an estrangement, because you'll get to the door of eternity and the Lord say, I don't know you. I forgave you. You to forgive others. Let Jesus find you as a lifelong acquaintance and not a stranger. He loved you with such an incredible love. No one has ever loved you more than Jesus. Now love him back. Love him back. Now, every time I preach on a parable, as you probably, if you've been here any time, I like to know where we fit in. I think always we fit into the parable. It's kind of very interesting, right? So the obvious question to ask, are you the, you're not the bridegroom, by the way, you know. If you think you're equated to the bridegroom, you have a big problem. A big, big problem. But you're not the bridegroom. You could be one of the five wise ones, or you could be one of the five foolish ones. I'm hoping you're one of the wise ones. But here's another place where I think you might fit, where all of us might fit. We're the seller of oil. How about that? We're the seller of oil. Now, that's not a list, a character list in this parable. He's off stage, I agree. But why not us being that part? And imagine saying to these 10 bridesmaids who have come to buy oil, oh, it's a wedding. You need to take extra. Please don't go without it. Haven't we tried to persuade people that they need oil in their life or more oil? Persuade them to have this light in their lives. Of course, I'm talking about the light of Jesus Christ and the faith that he gives us. So what that means is we who have oil in our lamp, we who have oil want others to get it too. Here's your out-the-door message from this parable today. Keep obtaining oil. Keep worshiping God. Keep coming to communion. Keep praying. Keep reading the Bible. Keep gathering oil in your lamp. Don't let it go out. The children sang, this little light of mine, you know. I mean, they didn't sing that today, but the little light of mine, Don't let it go out. Don't let it go out. Let that faith be enriched week after week. Sometimes our faith gets drained, you know. We need to replenish it. And here's another privilege we have as Christians. We get to tell others where they can get some oil too. The oil the Holy Spirit will replenish and give us. It's a great parable. Let's be wise all our lives. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.